Welcome back to Cityscape. I'm Jim Eltoff. Up next, an internationally acclaimed Missouri artist, an artist whose work you've seen, been to the Arch, Missouri Botanical Garden, Danforth Plant Science Center. Then you've seen the work of Brian Haynes, and you can see a lot of his work in a beautiful new art book called New Regionalism, The Art of Brian Haynes. Brian, welcome to Cityscape, and congratulations. The book is magnificent.
Thank you, Jim.
It is really beautiful.
Thank you.
Educate us a little bit. Regionalism, new regionalism, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, it goes back to Thomas Hart Benton, most people are familiar with, and other regionalists, Grant Wood from Iowa, John Stuart Curry from Kansas. Now, as most things, this label was a derogatory thing by a New York critic when Thomas Hart Benton was in New York trying to make a go of it, and that critics just wrote him off as a mere regionalist. But as these things happen, it grew. And he used it as a moniker that he described his work well years later.
And today, who knows the critic, right?
Right.
And Thomas Hart Benton is one of America's great artists.
Right.
Everybody acknowledges that, and we especially love him here. So this is art about this region of the country.
Right.
I know you live here, you're from here, but this wouldn't seem like the most promising region. It's not the desert, it's not the mountains, it's not the ocean, it's not the magnificent forests in the northwest. It's Missouri. It's just me.
Right. But of course, it has its own character that maybe going away makes you recognize as you come back. So I went to school in New Mexico, went to school in California, then my wife and I came back, and then you see it all anew. And seeing it anew, I just started to paint landscapes purely for the joy of it. But then those shapes in the landscape that you're talking about kind of began to describe the narrative within the paintings.
Now, how would you characterize that narrative? I mean, when I'm looking through this book, I see action. I see people with plows building fences. I see Native Americans and buffalo and trains and things going on. It's not just locks on a plate sitting there. I mean, there are things happening.
Right. Well, there's a lot of stories to tell around here. We moved back, like I say, to St. Louis, lived in Soulard, and so much history there.
Yeah.
Then moved out to a rural area right on the edge of the Missouri River and wine country, beautiful Herman and Augusta, kind of out in that area. And there's so many stories to tell. As an illustrator, I've been illustrating commercially for 32 years. So telling stories came naturally. And I'd come home and just say, I was at the coffee shop down at Labadee and listen to the story I just heard, you know.
And that inspires a painting.
Well, yeah, I mean, that sounds simple, but the people had been living, their ancestors had settled this place 150 years ago. So where we'd moved around and been transient, they had stayed and told me these stories, and the land kind of emphasized it with the shapes again. It all kind of is a feedback loop on itself of descriptive art.
You mentioned your work in commercial art and the entertainment industry for a long time. How did that affect your art, and how is what you're doing now different than what you were doing then? Because sometimes we make these distinctions, oh, well, that's high art, that's aesthetic, that's commercial art, that's just not so. I mean, a lot of both can be wonderful or terrible.
Right, and to me, it's just one flow into another. It's about storytelling, and I always had a style with my illustration that was of a time past. And so to create those stories, the narratives we're talking about, was an easy transition. I don't see it as a big transition. The society makes this division in the two, but to me it's a flow. And putting the book together was interesting because I had to create this flow of a career of 30 years that made sense.
Talking with Brian Haynes, the artist, his new book is called New Regionalism, The Art of Brian Haynes, and it's just an absolutely beautiful book. You also have an exhibit in the Courthouse Rotunda into January, so we've got some opportunities to get down there and see it. Tell us what we'll see if we go down there.
Well, it's just a collection of a lot of the pieces that are in the book, and what a treasure of a building we have. I mean, you walk into that big space, and there's just kind of a natural hush about it because you have that smell of stone and wood and the history, you know, the kind of the echo of the slave market, and it's just a wonderful treasure
kind
of a building.
Churchy about it, or cathedral-like about it.
Yeah, and so what a delight to have my work in there. I don't think, Jim, there's going to be a better place for my work to ever be exhibited. I'm very lucky to be there because it's kind of dark, you know, and then they've got these nice pin lights focused on the artwork that just makes it really look great.
I can't wait to get down there and see it. I read that you spend a lot of time doing historic research for your paintings, and you may be doing something with Native Americans or farmers or trains or whatever else. Why do you have to research that kind of thing? You're the painter. You can make it up, right?
Right.
You can have them wear Velcro if you want.
Right. Well, I do. And everything that I paint has to submit to the overall composition. But in order to tell a story and to make it more interesting, the details have to come out and have to be right. Now, I'm not in the business to educate or lecture, so I've got a lot of license to tell a story and make it beautiful. That's really what I'm interested in.
Yet when you look at these pictures, they ring true. They look to me like someone has an understanding of what this scene is about, what these people were doing, what this gathering was about. It just looks right. And that's got to take a lot of work.
Thanks. Well, it's just interesting. I'm fascinated by it, so I learn more about it. And there's things that I didn't know about that I learned that I kind of want to show how things used to be done, for no one else but my wife and my children. So look at this. Isn't this interesting? This is how they used to do things. And then it kind of evolves in my sketchbook into something worth showing someone else.
Do you travel around out in the countryside with a book and just kind of make little sketches and then see where they go? Is that how it works?
It sounds childlike, but yes, my camera, my sketchbook, and some paints. And, you never know when an idea is going to strike.
Do you ever paint plein air out there with an easel?
I do, but my friend Billy O is much better at it than I.
Yeah, I know Billy.
And I just do it as a research, as a tool to get the light correct in this certain situation. Then I go back to the studio and may use it in some other scene.
You paint in a lot of forms as well. I mean, you do murals, you do landscapes, portraits, historical pieces, commissions. You seem comfortable in a lot of different ways of expressing yourself. That's fairly rare, isn't it? I mean,
well,
artists tend to be, I'm really good at this, I'm going to do this.
Well, thanks, Jim. In the illustration world, no, and especially us older guys, there's several of us out there of the old guard who came of age before the fax machine, before Photoshop, before when things had to be hand done, and you ship a painting off to New York, you know, if it's a commercial job. So we painted for a living, and really it hadn't changed much until about the 90s when the computer got involved, and then everything changed.
How has that changed art and painting? I mean, I know it's changed photography. It used to be photography. Photograph doesn't lie. Oh, yeah.
Right, right.
How has it affected painting?
Well, more in the sense of commercial art, it's taken over. I mean, it's such a powerful tool, and it's just another tool in the toolbox, but it's so powerful that to present a sketch to a client, an ad agency doesn't use an artist to come in and just draw by hand anymore. They put it together in Photoshop and say, this is what it's going to look like, whereas we used to do that by hand for them to present ideas for new concepts.
Talking about new regionalism, the art of Brian Haynes, a beautiful new art book, and with the holidays not far off, keep in mind, you know, any art lovers. You mentioned, Brian, different time periods and eras, and there are a lot of them represented in new regionalism, but the 1930s seemed to be a place where you feel at home.
Yeah, with my illustration work, I always gravitated towards that subject matter for the history of it, but the shapes. There's those elemental shapes of squares and circles and diagonal lines that were so strong in the 1930s with Lowy and the other designers who designed industrial things, and I'm just attracted to that. I really can't explain why, but it surfaces in my work, artwork all the time.
Are there themes to colors that you like? I mean, I see a lot of kind of golden and soft-edged and really beautiful and warm colors here, and the kind of thing you can see if you're out driving around in Missouri this time of the year.
Oh, it's beautiful right now. Thank you. Fall, I mean, who can beat that? I mean, we come back to this part of the country. This part of the country is gorgeous in many ways. It has a subtle beauty, not the grandness of the Grand Canyon or the Tetons, but it's got its own gorgeous beauty.
Yeah. Well, you have done a great deal to capture it. Is the book generally available around this area?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, we're working towards that. It's you can find it on the website of the publisher is Missouri Life Media. Or through my website, you can find it, a link to that.
What's your website? We'll put a link up to all those on ours, so that's always
you.
A good place
it's
to start.
It's artbybrianhaynes.com.
Okay, well, you'll be able to connect with that if you go to our website at stlouispublicradio.org and click on Cityscape. How many works of art are represented in this book, roughly?
There's about 200.
That's an awful lot.
Yeah.
You are a very prolific artist?
Well, thank you. It goes back to the commercial art days when you just, you know, you sit down and you learn.
Here's
how
the
to
assignment.
Do it
you got to do this. Now you got to do that.
It's about efficiency.
Is that the way you paint? You must spend all day every day, it seems like.
Yeah, but things have slowed down when I'm doing larger canvases that I really care about. And we call them fine art, right? So I've really put a lot into it and slowed down. And now I've got collectors who are willing to pay enough to have me slow down and do them monumental pieces. So
that must
really
be
fun.
A great and deserved luxury to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Tell people about your work at the Museum of Westward Expansion. Everybody in town has seen it. They may not have said, "Oh yeah, that's a Brian Haynes up there," but they said, "Wow, how did that all come about?"
Well, the people at PGAV Architects went to a gallery that I'm represented by in Ladue, Codner Gallery.
Oh, yeah, I know Codner.
Yeah, and they've been around for 35 years. And John and David there said that they had an artist who was capable of doing this mural that PGAV had approached them about. It's a 27-foot wide by 15-foot tall mural that's now at the ticketing booth in the Westward Expansion Museum. And it basically shows a new visitor the map of the area and what there is to do. Because you think about it, you're down in a basement, really down there, and you're not really oriented to the layout. But then they wanted to flank that map by scenes of history. So the 1964 raising of the arch and then the 1850 scene of the levee. And so here again, I get to research, which is a joy, to read about these people. And then I got to learn about the people who worked on the arch, which just blew my mind.
Yeah.
What those guys did without before OSHA, before he had to wear a helmet.
Yeah.
I mean, just incredible.
Yeah, so. those guys were brave. And now redoing the whole arch, spiffing it all up and the grounds and all of that. Any chance there might be some other opportunities there to add a little?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Bob Moore, the historian, is I think, getting the museum going. And my brother Michael Haynes, who's an artist in Colorado, does beautiful historical work, highly detailed and highly researched watercolors and other paintings. So I think they're going to use his great talent for that.
What about your work at the Missouri Botanical Garden? What's there?
Yeah, that came out of a commission by Novus International, and Thad Simon, the CEO, saw my work at the Danforth Center. So he thought I could conceptualize a gift towards Dr. Raven, who was just departing after 40 years of service. And again, I get to research about Dr. Raven and what he did, and which I really didn't know until I began to find out about his discoveries, and then put it in a very conceptual piece that's now a small mural at the Botanical Garden.
Wow, that is great. Well, you can see a lot of Brian Haynes' work at the old courthouse in the rotunda, about 30 paintings or so, I believe.
42.
42 are there, and they're open every day except like Thanksgiving and Christmas and so on, and they don't charge, obviously, to come into the courthouse. And you can see an awful lot of beautiful work by Brian Haynes in New Regionalism, a handsome new art book that would make, I think, a wonderful gift for anybody you know who is an art lover. Brian, it's been a great pleasure meeting you. Thank you very much for coming by and being on Cityscape, and continued success.
Thank you.
You can meet Brian Haynes at a book signing Sunday from 10 until 2 at the Boathouse in Forest Park. Coming up, Arch City Radio Hour host Nick Garcia talks with Lindy Hop's Christian Fraumelt about two jazz events taking place next week. This is Cityscape on St. Louis Public Radio.